I was reading the Message Bible this week. I really like it. It sets me free in a lot of arenas. And I read the same things over and over and over and over again. I don't know what you do, but meditation is concentration. It's standing in one spot. And I am probably the best one-spot stander you'll ever see. Because I can just take one word, one thought, one idea, one concept, and stay there for weeks. And one thing the Message Bible says in the book of Romans is that Abraham entered into what God was doing. Abraham entered into what God was doing. Now that's what faith is. We're talking about the prayer of faith will save the sick, not might save the sick, could save the sick. It says in James 5, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Heaven's guarantee. It's not cross your fingers and hope for the best. Sometimes this works out and sometimes it doesn't. We don't understand. You'll understand it better by and by. That's what the songwriter said. He was wrong about that, by the way. Abraham entered into what God was doing. That's, first of all, Abraham had to find out, what's God doing? What is God doing? If I'm going to enter into the plan, I've got to know and understand the plan. Now, Revelation chapter 1, are you there? I'm the only one probably that's not there. It's very familiar to us. Verse 8. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Some translations say I'm the A to Z. I am Alpha and Omega. Alpha meaning beginning, Omega being ending. Now, the plan of God for Abraham's life was instigated by God himself. It wasn't something that Abraham conceived or thought of. God spoke and said, you leave Ur of the Chaldees. I'm going to give you another land. You're going to inherit another land. The beginning of Abraham's success was finding out what God was saying. What is God saying? What is God's plan? What is God doing? Now, Abraham's going to have to cooperate with the plan. And man stands in the gap with one hand on God's plan, the other hand on God's power in order to complete the plan. But man has a very, very simple part in the plan. It's find the plan, believe in the plan. It's that simple. Now look at Genesis chapter 12, is it? Jesus said, I'm the beginning and I'm the ending. You know, so many times in a situation we don't know exactly what to do, and we take a poll. We take an opinion poll. We gather in all our relatives and friends. About half of them don't believe anything whatsoever. What do you think we ought to do? Believe. Find some friends that believe, some friends who know God. Well, we usually gather our friends together and we say, what would you do? What would you do? What do you think? And we're taking some kind of an opinion poll. Usually from people who don't believe anything, don't pray much. If you think you're going to get the plan of God that way, see, we won't get the plan of God. Until we have the plan of God, the mind of the Lord, we cannot be successful. Now, God is the performer. He's the one who finishes up the plan. He's the one who gives the idea, gives the concept, and the one who brings the concept to pass. All I have to do is find the concept, believe in the concept, keep my hands on God, keep my focus, consider Him, and He can bring it to pass. He said in Numbers 23:19, I'm not a man that I should lie. Hath I said, and shall I not do it? See, God's going to say, He's going to speak, and then He's going to do. He's going to initiate the plan. He's going to complete the plan. He's going to begin the plan. He's going to finish the plan. All I have to do is believe that. And every successful Bible man just found out what God wanted, what God was saying, what God had in mind, and said, okay, I believe that. There was not one who by willpower, physical strength, mental acumen, brought the plan to pass. Now, Abraham is 75 years old when God opened the door and gave him a glimpse of his concept. This is what we're going to do, Abraham. That's what God said. This is what we're going to do, Abraham. Well, at 75, you know, to the natural mind, it's not such a good plan. 75, we're going to have a child, be a great nation. Does that sound like a good plan to you? See, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's why we're not dependent upon ourselves, because we're not smart enough to put it together. Now in chapter 12, verse 2, God said to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. That's the beginning of the plan. There's no doubt Abraham didn't fully understand the plan, but over a period of almost 10 years or more, God repeated that plan to Abraham. You see, Abraham's got to believe in the plan. He's got to cooperate with the plan. The plan was not Abraham's, and Abraham cannot bring the plan to pass. It is not the beginning. It does not begin in Abraham, and it will not finish in Abraham. It begins in God. It's finished by God. And Abraham's only part is to stand in that gap and say, I believe that. That ridiculous, unreasonable plan. I believe that. You know, from the natural standpoint, it would seem ridiculous. Now in chapter 13, God repeats the plan to Abraham. Time passes, a lot of time between chapters. And God said, verse 14, unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Now, whose idea was it that Abraham should move? Whose idea was he should have a new country, a new land? Whose idea was he should be a great nation and have a complete family beginning with his own being? His own personal son in the flesh. God. Who thought of that? God. Who began that? God. Who started that? God. Who finished it? God. Abraham and Sarah at 75 and 65 can't bring that to pass. That's when God gave them a glimpse of the plan, but it didn't come to pass till they're 190. Way beyond the time when the plan could be fulfilled. They didn't fulfill the plan. They didn't even think of it. God says, I'm the Alpha. Now, sometimes we strain our brain in vain, don't you think? We just need to meditate, wait upon the Lord, and say, what do you want, God? Now, look at Numbers 23. What's the plan, God? What's in your mind, God? And then say with all boldness, all confidence, when you know you've heard from heaven, Lord, I believe. Numbers 23:19 is a great verse. God is not a man that he should lie. Is God going to present a plan that cannot be done? You know, we often do that. We think of something, let's do so and so, and then it doesn't look like it's going to work out, and we say, oh, forget it. But God doesn't do that. When God instigates a plan, if man will agree with the plan's going to come to pass. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He doesn't have to go back on his word. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with man who believes. So if man has the plan of God, the idea, the concept of God, believes in that plan, stands in the gap between the instigation of the plan and the power to complete the plan comes to pass. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Now, why would God not be able to bring that plan to pass? Why would he not be able to make a plan good? It would be because man did not believe in the plan, did not hold fast to the plan, did not come into agreement with the plan. But the man who says, I hear you, God. I hear you talking. I believe that. Right in the face of the most impossible situation, you see, God's not moved by man's impossibilities. We're moved. We're often shaken. You know, Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Sometimes we concentrate on the mountain. We look at the mountain. We magnify the mountain. We know this is a big mountain. This is an impossible situation. This has never been done before. I love the line. Nobody in my family has ever. I say, well, you be the first. You know, all my family have heart disease. Well, be the first to set free. But as long as we look at the mountain, look at the impossibility, the mountain grows. Have you noticed how that mountain is growed when it's stared down? You know, if you're going to clean your house and you keep looking at it, the more you look at it, the more you drag your feet, the more you postpone it, the dirtier it looks, the longer it takes, the more harassed you are in spirit about the whole deal. You look at your ironing. Well, I remember as a girl, we used to do the ironing. In fact, I did lots of ironing. In fact, I am really good at it. I don't say I really was happy at it. Just accomplished. And my mother worked, and I was the older of three children, and I did lots of ironing. I remember looking at the basket, you know, one basket today, and 2 days it's two baskets, and then it's three baskets. In those days, things were 100% cotton. You remember those days?
Yes.
You had to wet those things down, roll those things up, put those things in your refrigerator. Anybody remember those days? I mean, that was work. Well, you get to staring at that, looking at that mountain of iron, and you could get depressed, uptight, and strung out. Never happened to you, right? And that's what happens as I look at the mountain. Now, I have a choice here. I can look at the plan of God or look at the mountain. I can look at thus saith the Lord and know God can bring the impossible to pass, that he will keep his word, that he will do it, that he's not depending upon me to do it. Thank God he's not depending. See, if he's dependent upon Abraham and Sarah to bring to pass a great nation, it's over. He's not depending upon them to bring it to pass. He's depending on them to believe that he is going to bring it to pass. You know, we sing that song, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. But we don't often say yes. We just sing that we're going to say yes, but we don't say yes. You know, if I have to bring the plan to pass, I'd examine the plan. Maybe it's not the right plan. You know that? Because if I bring it to pass, then I can be glorified. I did it. Isn't that right? I did it. You know, if somebody, some little kid makes a mess at your house, we only have one little kid, so we don't have to ask who did this. We know who did it. But you have several, and somebody makes a mess, somebody breaks something, you say, who did this? Well, they all want to deny it, you know. Nobody wants to admit. Or they all want to blame somebody else. She did it. He did it. Who said that? I didn't. You know the plan is God. The power to perform the plan. Who begins things? God. Who starts things? God. Who said I'll do this? God. It's not dependent upon you. Now who said to Noah we're going to have a flood here? Do you know Noah didn't look at the sky and say, I bet we're going to have a 40-day rain. He never thought of that. Wasn't his idea. Wasn't his concept. It was God. Who's the Alpha? Who's the Alpha?
God.
Who's the Alpha?
God.
Who is the Alpha?
God.
Now, who's the Omega?
God.
Now, Noah's not going to make it rain. He's going to believe that it is going to rain. Now, the man in the middle believes. That's your part. So, okay, God, I believe that. If I believe that, I'm going to quit staring at the mountain. I'm going to quit staring at the medical report. I'm going to quit staring at the checkbook. I'm going to quit following the behavior of my children because I'll be shaken. I keep my eyes right on thus saith the Lord, right on what God is saying, right on his plan. He said, I sent my word and healed you. Who said that?
God.
Who sent the word?
God.
And who healed?
God.
What part did you do?
Believe.
You just believe that he sent it? You got the easy part. Now, if I look at the medical report, it often gets worse before it gets better. Have you noticed that? I could be shaken. You lose your joy. Hope fades. You whine a lot. Have you noticed that? Somebody calls you on the phone and instead of saying, hello, you say, hello. You know, it doesn't take a very perceptive person to know that you've gotten your eyes off the plan. How are you? All right, I guess. We're going to make it. What's the plan? He sent his word. Who sent the word? Who said by Jesus' stripes you were healed? Whose idea was that? Who brings that to pass? Are you supposed to bring that to pass? Can you bring that to pass? What's your problem? We've simply got to believe God. Now, what does Mark 11:22 say? Have faith in God. Have faith in who?
God.
Have faith in the Alpha. Have faith in the Omega. Now, Abraham and Sarah, you know, they tried to help God out with the plan. Did God need their help?
No.
Did they mess up the plan?
Yes.
Did God still rescue the plan?
Yes.
Thank goodness. But even today, we have Ishmael. Does God need your help?
No.
Now, what did he tell Noah to do? Build a boat. Is Noah going to send the rain?
No.
Did he even think about rain? See, the man that believes often has a part to play. But it's never the Alpha part or the Omega part. It's not the beginning, the starting, the instigating of the plan. That's not man's part. And it's not the Omega, the finale of the plan. That's not your part. And when you believe, God gives you your part. When he said to Noah, we're going to have a rain here. You're going to need a boat. Build a boat. And do you know it was over 100 years later? Did you know that? Have you checked out your Bible? God gave the old boy 100 years to get his boat together. Now that should make all of us go, thank God. You know, if God says to me, Becky, faith and patience would inherit the promise, I expect God to have a little patience, wouldn't you? And they asked God, why haven't you come yet? He said, since the fathers there was word of your coming and you haven't come. In other words, you're not keeping your word. And it says God's long-suffering. He hangs in there. Well, if I have my eye on the plan, if I keep my eye on the plan and off of the mountain, it's going to be a lot easier to hang in there. You got to hang in there with God. You're going to have to hang together. You're going to have to hang with God. You're going to have to consider him. You're going to have to focus in on the plan. And know that God's the performer of the plan. He brings the power to complete the plan. All I've got to do is accept my personal assignment, build the boat, and wait on God. Send the rain. Now look at Numbers chapter 12. I'm just building my case here. Is this all right? We have overwhelming scriptural evidence. Numbers 13, verse 2. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Who's going to give it to them?
God.
Who's going to give it to them?
God.
Whose idea was it?
God.
Now, you know, in their own physical might and ability, they can't bring that plan to pass. They got their eyes off of God, off of the plan, off of the word of the Lord, and onto the giants and the walled cities. And then they realize this is impossible. This will never happen. Now look at verse 28. You know, God says land flowing with milk and honey, and they went and looked at it, and they said, sure enough, that's right. You know, God's always right. You might as well come into agreement with God. Nevertheless, that's where they went wrong. The people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, which was a race of giants. Verse 30, Caleb, still the people. Let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome it. What made the difference in the 10 spies and the two, Caleb and Joshua? Caleb and Joshua simply believed what God had said. If you look over chapter 14, verse 8, here's the word of Joshua. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land. Who's going to bring us them into the land?
God.
Who's going to do it?
God.
Can they do it?
No.
No, they're not strong enough to conquer the giants. And those giants are behind walled cities anyway. And we're not talking about a little picket fence. We're talking about a wall. The city of Jericho, they ran chariots side by side on top of that wall. I mean, this is a great wall. You know, I like the man who just said to God, you know, it's what my idea. If you can't pull it off, we'll just do something different. Now, God's not angry. That's faith. That's faith. But you notice Abraham and Sarah, when they believed, God did have Isaac. And the people of Israel who did believe did finally possess the promised land. The people who did not believe died in the wilderness. See, all God wants me to do is find out what he's saying and say, okay. You know, you tell a little kid to clean their room, they know that's impossible. They're sure. Have you noticed that? I mean, that's impossible. And that can't be done. And they'll drag their feet and they'll stick their head around the door, I don't know how many times, Mama! But if you're a wise mother, and that's the plan, how many think God's a wise God?
Yeah.
How many think he knows what he's doing?
Yeah.
Did he say, I'll give you that land? You know he said it to Abraham, he said it to Isaac, he said it to Jacob, he repeated it to every generation, he had said it several times to the people of Israel through Moses. It shouldn't have been any surprise to them. He even had told Abraham and several others exactly what the boundaries of the land would be, what rivers and bodies of water would form the composition of the land. They shouldn't have been surprised. But see, they didn't keep their eye on the plan. They thought they were going to take down the walls and conquer the giants. But who's the Omega here?
God.
Who's the Alpha?
God.
Who thought of the plan?
God.
Whose idea is this?
God.
Who's going to bring it to pass?
God.
What's your part?
Believe.
Now let me show you what God said to him, Exodus chapter 23. You see, if I get this in my heart, I get a glimpse of this. This is going to be so easy to receive what I need from heaven. All I have to find out in the scriptures is that the plan. Is that God's plan? Does he want me healed? Does he want me well? And if I hold fast to the plan, he can fulfill the plan. I can't heal myself. I can't heal you. But if that's God's plan and I'll hold fast to the plan, then the power will perform the plan. Now in Exodus 23, he came to Israel. Verse 27. I will send my fear before thee. In other words, he's going to make the people afraid of Israel. They're not going to know that they're bigger. The big man is going to be afraid. God says, I'll see to that. I'll send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people. Who's going to send the fear? Who's going to destroy them? God said, I will. Who's going to do this?
God.
Who said it?
God.
Who's going to do it?
God.
I will make all thy enemies turn their backs. They're going to be so afraid they're going to run. It's going to run, just going to scatter. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. Who's going to send the hornets?
God.
I will not drive them out from thee before thee in 1 year. God told him exactly how he's going to do it. It says it won't happen instantly. It won't be quick. But little by little, I will drive them out. Verse 31, I will set the boundaries. You see all those I wills? And what did Israel say? We be not able. Who asked them to do it anyway? We be not able. I don't have enough faith. God said, I'll send fear. I'll make them turn their back. I'll send the hornets. I'll drive them out. But over a year's time, I'll drive them out. I'll set the boundaries. Who's going to do this? Who's the Alpha, the beginning, the instigator of this plan? Who thought of this? Whose idea, whose concept was this? Anyway, it was Almighty God's. And who's going to bring to pass Almighty God? What did he ask Israel to do? Now, the man that believes often has an assignment. Israel's first assignment was walk around the walls of Jericho. He didn't ask them to get the armies together. He said, take a long walk, once a day for 6 days. Then the seventh day, a longer walk, and shout. How big a deal could that be? You know what we do? Oh, that won't work. Well, it won't work for you because you didn't believe it. It didn't work for those who didn't believe it. Now, let me show you back to Numbers. Are you back in Numbers? What's the plan? That's all I need to know. What'd you say, God? What is it you wanted to do? By stripes, I'm what?
Healed.
That's the plan? Who's going to do that? I'm not really mad, okay? This is just me. It's just the way I feel today. I'm just letting it all hang out. Verse 11, chapter 14. Somebody once said, the man who lets it all hang out when he gets through has to tuck it all back in. And I have found that that is truth. There is real truth to that. You might keep that in mind if you think, you know what the world says and they're always wrong. You can know they're wrong. Let it all hang out, you'll feel better. No, you won't feel a dab better, and then you'll have to gather it all back up and tuck it in. That's free. Just because I'm in a funny mood today. Verse 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? God was provoked by unbelief. And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. You see, he had showed all those signs. And those signs weren't simply in Egypt for Pharaoh. God's people were supposed to take note. This is a God of power and ability, a God who can turn rivers into blood. A God who can send masses of insects and destroy the land. A God who can send flies. Can you imagine? Here a fly, there a fly, everywhere a fly. He said, I showed them signs. How long before they're going to believe? Now, did God ask him to kill a giant? What is the deal? What is the deal, Lucille? Now look at 1 Kings 17. You know, I know when you're in pain, you're in pain. And I know when you have a bad report, you have a bad report. But I also know how to win. And you'll never win focused on the bad report.
That's right.
Now this is Elijah. We're going to have no rain. The land's going to be devastated by no rain. Verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, now God's got a plan for Elijah's safety and protection, just like he's got a plan for your safety and protection. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now whose plan was that? You know, Elijah didn't get up in the morning and say, you know, we've got drought here, we've got no crops in the land. Probably the final river to dry up would be the brook Cherith. I know the Jordan will dry up quickly, named all the little tributaries. They'll dry up quite rapidly. But the brook Cherith is probably be the last body to dry up. I'll go there. And while I'm sitting there, you know, all the animals will figure out where the water is. Because animals hunt water in drought. And they'll come to the brook because, you know, the brook Cherith always has water when all the others dry up. And probably they'll drop some meat and bread in my hand. You never know. No, he didn't think of that. He didn't plot that out, plan that out. You know, sometimes we spin our wheels. Say, what am I going to do? 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 What are we going to do? Honey, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to read and believe. You know, if it depends upon what I can do, we can resign today. I already found out. I don't have the mental acumen to pull great plans off. In fact, I don't have the mental acumen to put the plan together. As smart as I am, sometimes I can't figure things out. Save your life. And then I don't have the finances a lot of times to pull it off. I don't have physical strength and ability to bring it together. But God never asked me to do any of those things. He never told me to think of a plan. He never told me to perform the plan. He said, this is what I want to do, Abraham. I'm going to give you a child when you're 100 years old. So you have to go through the scripture and keep your heart sensitive to God's plan. God's far out. I think he's really far out. He said, here's the plan. You walk around Jericho and shout, and those walls will fall down. Someone told me they were trying to draw a backslider back to the house of God. And the backslider had excuses. And one of theirs, they had found a better church. They were going somewhere else. And so being a polite person, it's all right if you go somewhere else. You know, said, where are you going? And they said where they were going. And this person, being very wise, said, what I want to ask you is, do they know how to hear from God? That's all you have to. What's God saying? Who said, by my stripes you are healed? Whose idea was that? Who quickens the mortal body? Who restores it? Are you supposed to do that?
No.
You're just supposed to believe in the plan. That was God's plan. He says, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Before there was an earth, that was the plan. And God said, hath I said, shall I not do it? All I've got to do is say, let's do it, God. Now, Elijah was rescued. He just went to the brook and sat down. Waited for the birds. I like that. He's not sweating. You know, God didn't say go to the brook and plant a garden. Thank God. We did that. Wayne comes from a farm family. And I hate gardening. It gets dirt underneath your fingernails. I can't stand that. And it hurts your back. All that picking hurts your back. And the sun blisters my body and I don't tan. And I hated that. I thought, it's a bad plan. This is a bad... I like God's plan better. Just go take your chair, pull up by the brook. And my son, he's a smart kid. He says, Mom, do they sell these in a can? I said, yes, let's go get some. All he asked Elijah to do is to believe that. Believe there's water in the brook. That's it. Well, look at Luke chapter 1. Now, you know, a virgin does not conceive. Everybody knows that. We don't have to have an anatomy lesson. It's not done. And guess what? That's the plan. God is always far out. Well, if you could do it yourself, we wouldn't need him. He seldom gives you a plan that you could conquer. Then you could take the glory. Now he comes to Mary, sends the angel in chapter 1. Verse 28 says, "Hail, thou art highly favored." I know what she's thinking. You can tell by reading the rest of this chapter. Me? Are you talking to me? "Hail, thou highly favored. The Lord's with thee. Blessed art thou among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation that should be. That tells you where her thinking was. She said, "What'd you say? Hail, highly favored, blessed among women?" You know, that's just God. You need to perk your ears up. Know when he's talking to you. Because he's always far out. He's just far out. The angel told her, verse 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son. Shall call his name Jesus." Well, verse 34, she said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She knows this is a far out plan. And this is an impossible plan, but it's possible with God. So, but you don't understand, I have cancer. No, you don't understand. Healing's the plan. And he who instigated the plan, the Alpha of the plan, is the Omega of the plan, is the one. Now he tells her, verse 35, in response to her question, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Who's going to bring the Holy Ghost? Who's going to bring the power of the highest? Who's going to cause the virgin to conceive? Holy Ghost's going to do that part. You see, God's going to perform the plan. All he wanted Mary to do was to say, "You got it. It's okay with me." But we're looking at the mountain. We're checking out the x-rays. I mean, are you a mountain starer? Have you ever done that? You know what happens? Like Peter walking on the water, you begin to sink. You notice that? You begin to go under. But we ought to look at God's track record. He has a pretty good track record. He caused a virgin to conceive. You know anybody else stood at the Red Sea? You know it's not a pond or a puddle, it's a sea. That's why they call it the Red Sea. And parted it, said the waters congealed, stood up on end, and several million people went through on dry land. Even if those waters had parted, the soil and the dirt under the river would have been boggy. You go out and park Lake Parker. Let's say you stand there with your rod and say, "Open! Open!" You ought to look at God's track record. His plan's always impossible. We can't open the Red Sea. Put all the lions, hungry lions, in one den with an available victim. And say, "Okay, nobody here opens their mouth. Is that clear?" It's far out. Who's going to do that? You know, I think we're working too hard at our healing, don't you?
Yes.
Now here's Mary's part. Thank God she caught on. Verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." That means she surrendered, she yielded. "Be it unto me according to thy word." You know what she said? Okay. You got it. And then verse 45. This is the great prophecy of Elizabeth. "Blessed is she that believed." Did she believe? It said she did. "There shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now you have the two parts that God's going to do and the part that Mary did all wrapped up in that verse. "There shall be a performance of those things which were told her." Who instigated the plan? Who was the Alpha of the plan? Who initiated the plan?
God.
This is God told her. "Highly favored one, you're going to have a child, my child." And who's going to perform that? Who's going to bring that to pass?
God.
What's she going to do?
Believe.
She's going to believe that. That's amazing, isn't it? Now look at Isaiah 55. Amazing. Verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth." This is God speaking. Who sent the word?
God.
Who opened up their mouth? "It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please." You see there the Alpha and the Omega? It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Who's going to cause it to prosper? Who's going to cause it to accomplish? Who's going to bring it to pass?
God.
Who sent it?
God.
And who's going to bring it to pass?
God.
Whose idea was it?
God.
And who's going to perform it?
God.
That's what it says. Now look at 2 Chronicles 20. You know when God says to me, Becky, you know by Jesus' stripes you were healed? You know what I'm going to say? Okay. That's it. Now Jehoshaphat had the enemies coming against him. They were not strong enough to defeat the enemy. Verse 12 is a wonderful verse. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. They didn't know what to do, and had they known what to do, they didn't have enough army to do it. Is that a big deal? No. It's not even a little bitty deal. It's no kind of a deal at all. Now the prophet speaks, verse 15, down the middle of the verse, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. Then God tells him, verse 16, exactly where to go. And then he says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Is there going to be a battle? He said there's going to be a battle. He said you go to that location, but you won't fight, but there will be a battle. You can figure that out. You can hear Jehoshaphat, here's brains rattling. What'd he say? Go to battle and don't fight? Go where the enemy is but don't fight him? What'd he say? He said, just go set yourself and what? Stand you still. Can you imagine? Hear the enemy coming. I'm following God's orders. We're all set here, set in a row. A set is an arrangement. Standing still, that's what God said. Here they come. Is that far out or what? I read things that people do that are really far out, but they don't bother me because I found out. God's always a step ahead of us. Now I'll tell you what they thought about God's plan. Verse 18. They fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They just submitted to that. And then in verse 19, they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. What does that tell you about their attitude towards God's plan? Go to battle, don't fight, just go out there to the location of the enemy and stand around. And they fell and worshiped God. You know, they knew they weren't going to bring it to pass. Now they've got the plan. They're not going to bring the plan to pass, but they have a part to play. What are they going to do? Go out there and stand around. What's Noah going to do? He's going to build a boat. Sometimes God gives you a directive, but it's not that he gives you the directive because you're going to bring the plan to pass. He just wanted them to be able to float when he sent the rain. And faith always has a part to play, but faith is not the alpha, the beginning of the plan, and faith is never the finale or the completion of the plan. Never. Say never. Never. If you can do it without God, you don't need to hear from God. Go ahead and do it. Now look here what God is going to do. Absolutely amazing. Now they appointed singers to stand out there and go before the orderly arrangement. God said, go out there, set it in order, stand still. They appointed singers to stand out front. Now you think that's funny, but that's historical. That's all Jehoshaphat did. He said, singers to the front. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments. Who did this?
Lord.
Who did it?
Lord.
Whose plan was it?
God.
Whose idea was it?
God.
And who brought it to pass?
God.
Is that amazing? There's an old song nobody sings. Jesus can fix it. Do you know that song? Anybody ever heard that song? It's a wonderful song. Do you know he can fix it? If you'll believe it. Now how hard is to believe it? I mean, you can go to the Bible and say, okay, open the Red Sea. He caused a 90-year-old woman, caused her womb to spring back to life and conceive. He shut the mouth of lions. He caused a virgin to conceive. I wonder if he can do what you need him to. I wonder. Hath he said it, though? Did he say, by Jesus' stripes you were healed?
Yes.
Did he say, I sent my word and healed you? Did he say that?
Yes.
If God has said it, he will do it. Now look at Romans chapter 4. Now once again, why did he not bring Israel, that first generations, into the promised land? They didn't believe what he said. They didn't believe what he said. Now this is Abraham, verse 18, chapter 4. Who against hope believed in hope. Is there any hope? Said there was no hope. Who against hope? Is there any hope? And yet he believed it anyway. Why? God said so. It's because God said so. You see, we have great faith in the medical report. We have more faith in the medical report than we do have in the God who created the human body so much of the time. And we just take whatever the doctor said. We believe it every word. We tell everybody we know, you know, we'll have to have surgery. We'll have to have surgery. We'll have to have surgery. It's a 20% chance of success. May not come through this. Would y'all pray? We just believe that. We just believe that. We're convinced. And if I said, you know, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, then most Christians aren't sure. They're not certain. They're not confident. They waver. They're hesitant. And yet that doctor's a man. God says, I'm not a man that I would lie. And even men who don't intend to lie sometimes don't project truth, even though they were sincere in what they said. It wasn't right. It wasn't honest. And God said, you know, I'm not a man that I would lie. If I've said, I'll bring it to pass. Who's going to bring it to pass?
God.
Who's going to bring it to pass?
God.
Now, there's no hope in Abraham's case. Verse 19, being not weak in faith. Not weak in faith. In other words, his faith is working. What is faith? Find out what God say and embrace it. Believe it. Say, okay. Verse 20, he staggered not. What causes you to stagger? Looking at circumstances. And you keep staring that mountain down. It begins to grow. It'll dawn on you that you can't get around the mountain. You can't get over the mountain. You can't get through the mountain. You're going under. That mountain's going to topple on top of you. You don't know what you're going to do. What's my family going to do? What's mama ever going to do? We hadn't got any. Nobody ever give us any. Nobody ever helps me. So who asked you to do it anyway? You know, there are people in life. They just are what I call take charge people. Do you know any of those? And they don't mean to exactly take charge, but everywhere they go, you know, they run things. If you're having a dinner party, your dinner party, you know, they'll show up in your kitchen helping you do this, that, and the other. Have you ever been there? Moving things around for you, shoveling things on the table. Well, you don't have, we need one more plate because so-and-so's coming, you know, resetting your table for you. You better not take charge, though, when God's got a plan, because you'll miss the plan. This is not my plan to heal the human body. I didn't think of that. It's not my plan that Calvary would take away sins and sicknesses. I didn't think of that. That's God's plan. God says, what I'm going to do is plan. Now, I couldn't die on the cross. I can't take away sin. I can't take away sickness. All I do is say, okay, I believe that. And if you spend your time looking at the cross and the empty tomb and the throne of heaven, your confidence in the plan is going to increase and the mountain's going to shrink. You ever had a mountain overwhelm you? I'm going to die. Someone said, you just really don't care, do you? No, it's not that I don't care. It's that I'm not looking at what you're looking at. You're looking at the mountain. I'm looking at the king of the mountain. It's the king that said, had I said, shall I not do it? And all I have to do is say, okay with me. Now look, Hebrews. Now you know what this verse in Hebrews 12:2 means. I don't think we've ever really known what it meant. We've read it. Sounds real religious. We've quoted it in spiritual overtones. Yes, sir, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, I don't know that we ever understood that. You got it now, though, don't you? Who's the author? Who's the Omega? You know what an author does? That's the one that starts things rolling. That's the one with the plan, with the idea. The author of the book's the one who had the concept for the book and wrote the words on the page. That's the author. Who's the author? Who's the author? Who's the finisher? Are you the finisher? Are you the author?
No.
What are you supposed to be doing?
Believing.
Did you start it?
No.
Can you finish it?
No.
Are you supposed to start it?
No.
Are you supposed to finish it?
No.
This is real relief, isn't it? And look at Psalms 37. I just feel to give you plenty of proof today. Just drown you in proof. Then we can really sing, I feel good. I feel good. To know I've been redeemed. You know what it means to be redeemed? God had a plan. He brought the plan to pass. He says, Becky, you want in on my plan? And I said, yes, sir, I do. I do, I do. I want in on plan. He said, okay, you're in. It was that easy. Psalms 37, are you there? Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee. That means he shall cause or bring to your heart certain desires. It doesn't mean he'll give you anything you want. Don't even interpret that verse that way, because it doesn't mean that. He will cause or give to you. He will place certain desires in your heart. Who's going to give you desires? The one who authors the plan. The one who starts the plan. The one who has the idea. The initiator. The Omega. The Alpha. Commit thy way unto him, unto the Lord. Trust also in him. That's your part. Okay, he's placed certain desires in your heart. He's given you some desires. He's given you his plan. Now just commit yourself to the plan. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to the plan. Trust in the Lord of the plan. And what's going to happen? He's going to bring it to pass. Do you think you were going to bring it to pass? Who's going to bring it to pass? Shh. Jesus can fix it. Jesus can fix it. All I got to do is meditate night and day in the plan is make sure my heart's full of the plan. Now, who died for sin?
Jesus.
Who died for sickness?
Jesus.
Who thought that was a good idea?
John.
Is that the way you would have done it? That's why nobody asked you to do it. Because we'd have been wrong. And who said when Jesus came up out of hell, Satan was under his feet? Who planned that out?
God.
Who performed that?
God.
All I have to do is say, I believe that. I believe that. I believe I'm healed. I believe that. He died for me. I'm healed. My gosh, I'm healed. I am healed. And he might say, okay, go ahead and have your surgery. I've known him to say that. Or he might say, forget surgery. You won't need it. Or he might say, take that bottle of prescription, be the last one you ever need. Or he might say, keep taking those same pills for 3 years.
Yeah.
Whose plan is it?
God's.
What are you supposed to say?
I believe.
I believe.
You know, if you're in the South, you know me, you say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I like to listen to people pray. One man in particular, first time I heard him pray, I thought, what in the world? And he always says, sir, I want to ask you. And his prayer is always heavily punctuated with sirs. I like that. You know what he's saying? You're the Alpha. You're the Omega. Speak to me about the plan. I don't have to ask him to speak to me about the plan of healing. I don't have to hear any voices. Don't have to have a dream. Don't have to have a vision. It's all in here. I am healed. He said that. I am already healed. He said that. That was his plan. Did God destroy the works of the devil? Yes. Is sickness a work of the devil? Yes. Is all sickness a work of the devil? Yes. Has sickness been put under our feet? Yes. Was that the plan? Who's going to perform the plan? The same one that caused the virgin to conceive. Now let's finish with Hebrews 11. Want to? Here's man's part. I want you to grasp very clearly. Verse 4. By faith Abel. How? What was Abel's part? How about Enoch? By faith Enoch. What's Enoch's part? What about Noah? Verse 7. By faith Noah. What's Noah's part? By faith Abraham. What's Abraham's part? Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. What's Sarah's part? Look at verse 17. By faith Abraham. You know who thought it was a good idea to offer Isaac on the altar of sacrifice?
God.
Who said that's the plan?
God.
So you don't have to be startled at what God said to you. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses. What's man's part? Believe in the plan. And the plan on healing is as clear as the nose on your face. It's in every book of the Bible. The Jesus who died for sins died to take away disease as well. And just like when you have a chance to sin, it's not that you don't have a chance to sin. It's not that you're immune from mistakes. It's that you turn that chance down or you quickly repent and straighten things up and get right, because sin is wrong. Sickness is wrong. From heaven's perspective, it's wrong. It wasn't part of God's plan. He died, Jesus died, in order to eliminate sickness and disease. I heard a man say this. It helped me so much. You know, if you were a shepherd and you had a sheep that was diseased, you'd isolate that sheep from the flock, because if that sheep gets diseased and other sheep gets diseased, you're going to go bankrupt. You're going to lose part of your livelihood, you see. And so if I said, you know, one of the sheep is sick, or we've got several sheep with certain sheep diseases, you'd say, oh my, that's awful. If I said, you know, my dog's really sick, you'd say, oh, that's awful. I'm so sorry. If I said to you, my bird's quit eating seed, I don't know what's wrong with him, you'd say, oh, what are you going to do? That's awful. But if I said, you know, my mother's real sick, you know what the world says? Will the will of the Lord be done? That's a lie. It's a lie from hell. If you believe your dog should live and your bird should live and your sheep should live, your mother should live as well. And the God who knows every hair on your head and knows when the sparrow falls, that means he knows when the cat eats the sparrow, cares more about his own children than he does about his children's dog. And God's not against a dog. Who put a dog here? Whose plan was that to have dogs? Don't fuss at me if you don't like dogs. That wasn't my plan. It wasn't my idea or concept. I didn't think of it. God did. When he made the lions and the tigers and the sheep and the cows, he said, and how about a dog? Whose plan was that? Whose plan was that? See, we're not very big, are we? You know, and the smaller we become, the greater he becomes. And the quicker the plan works. Do you believe that? Thank you, Father, for your wonderful plan. Thank you, we can simply yield to that plan. Yield to the plan. Yield to the plan. That we can simply hear what you say, believe what you say, faith and patience, and inherit the promise, receive the fullness. You said you sent your word and heal. We believe that. You said you sent your word, it would not return void, it would prosper. We believe that. You said you were the Alpha and Omega. We believe that. You said you're the author and the finisher. And Father, you said, he who hath begun a good work will complete it. You began it. You complete it. I'm not the beginning. I'm not the end. But I stand here in the middle, Father, and say, I believe. I believe. I believe.